Praise the Lord. I know probably a lot of you are sitting there and you're thinking, well, that missionary has a lot of needs. And as soon as somebody says needs, I guarantee you, a lot of your minds went to, well, I've got needs too. I've got bills. And there's no avoiding that. We all have needs. But what we truly need is people that have a vision. People that want to see revival in the world. And Fiji is in the middle of revival. You know, I'm not just saying that by faith, hoping that one day Fiji will experience revival. I'm saying Fiji's in revival because Fiji is in revival. And so we're excited about what God is doing. In 2011, we baptized over 500 people. Again, in 2012, we again baptized over 500 people. Praise the Lord. Fiji's in revival. I just went last December for their general conference and for Bible school graduation. And we were in an auditorium that they'd been using for their general conference for years. And we were packed. And I told Brother Nandavo, the superintendent, I said, we sure are getting packed in here. And he said, yes, this will probably be the last year we can have general conference in this auditorium. We're going to have to find an outdoor stadium. We're experiencing revival. People are getting the Holy Ghost. Our Bible school is growing all the time. We had over 40 students graduate last year. And we're starting a distance learning program out of the school, and we're expecting between 75 and 80 students this year. So we're just, it's a growing work. It's a growing work. So if you want to be diverse, if you want to diversify yourself in the kingdom of God, I know you guys got a lot going on here, but if you want to give a little bit to God's work elsewhere, Fiji is a good investment. Praise the Lord. I believe in investing in churches. As we go along and deputize throughout the U.S., I want to give offerings. I want to have an offering every time I come to the house of the Lord. But I also want to plant seeds. I want to plant, we've planted seeds, little seeds of offerings all over the U.S. because I want to be diversified in the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, if you go to the east, if you go to the west, if you go to the north or the south, if you're investing in the kingdom of God, it's going to prosper. Amen. And so Fiji's in revival. Fiji would be a good investment. And so, well, praise the Lord. It's not just among the churches. Revival is everywhere in Fiji. We have a lot of opportunities to witness to the Muslims. We have opportunities to witness to the Hindus. These people, the Indians, they're originally from India. They were brought over back in the 1800s when the British colonized the island. But these Indians, they have brought over with them Hinduism. And they serve and they worship these ugly blue gods with eight arms. And I feel terrible for them. One of the Fijian ministers told them, he said, how can you worship that thing? He said, if that thing actually came to life, you would kill it. But they're trapped in a false religion, and they worship and they bring offerings to these devils. And when you bring them the gospel, they listen. They're hungry. That religion has left them starving on the inside. And so we've been very blessed to minister to the Indian people. We were in California last year deputizing, and I was getting ready to go to general conference. And we were in a church that had three Fijian families in it. They were Indian, Fijian. And one of the ladies came up to me after service. I had told the church I was going to Suva, Fiji. She said, Brother Fox, she said, you're going to Suva, Fiji. She said, I have a son And I have a son-in-law that are taxi drivers in Suva, Fiji. She said, if you go to them and tell them I sent you, they'll give you free taxi rides. And I thought, well, that'd be a blessing. But that wasn't her motive for wanting me to go to her family. They weren't in church. So she wanted the missionary to go and visit her family. And so I went to the general conference. We had a little bit of time after a conference. And so I took another minister with me, and we went and we found this family. And we pulled up to the driveway, and I said, now, we're not here for free taxi rides. We're here to bring these people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then so we prayed that the Holy Ghost would go before us and begin to open up doors. And we got out of the van. We started walking up towards their house. And the neighboring house, the Fijian minister said, I know this house. He said, these people go to my father's church. And so they came out and greeted us first. And they said, we've been praying for these people. So they're right next to Pentecostals praying for them. They got their mother over in California praying for them. And God was getting ready to pour out all those prayers. We went into that house and we sat down, and I just started telling them about how good Jesus is. And they were just wide open. I told them about repentance. I told them about baptism in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I asked them, at this time it was just the son-in-law, the woman from California, her son-in-law and her daughter and their three daughters. And I said, would you like to be baptized in Jesus' name? And immediately, there was no hesitation. The woman and her three daughters began to shake their head, yes. Yes, we want to be baptized. They were there before I was. They were waiting for me to ask them. And so they immediately started shaking their head, yes. And I seen the husband. He was wanting to hold back a little bit. And I asked him, I said, why don't you come outside and we'll talk? I said, just me and you. I didn't want to embarrass him in front of his wife and his daughters. And we went outside, and we were standing out in his driveway. I said, I see you have a taxi here. You're the provider of your home. I see that you're the leader of your home. You could just tell this man was in charge of his home. And so I said, I would hate for you to miss this opportunity to be the spiritual leader of your home. Guys, we need to be the spiritual leaders of our home. And it must have been the Holy Ghost. It must have been wisdom from the Holy Ghost for me to tap into this area of his life, because he thought about it for a minute. And he said, you know what? You're right. He said, I do need to be the spiritual leader of my home. I'll lead my wife and my daughters in this decision. I'll get baptized in Jesus' name. And so the whole family was wanting to get baptized in Jesus' name. And about this time, the brother came in. And so I went over the same thing with him. And he said, yes, I'll get baptized in Jesus' name. So we had the whole family wanting to get baptized in Jesus' name. And technology is so great. These people, over in the corner of their house, they had a computer. And they talked to their mother on a regular basis on Skype. And so they went over to that computer. They all have made a decision to go and get baptized. And they got on Skype and got their mother in California. And they all stood around the computer and they said, Mom, we're going to go get baptized in Jesus' name. And I could see that mother back in California, she with tears rolling down her face. I came over and she said, oh, thank you, Brother Fox. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But it wasn't me. It was the Holy Ghost. It was her years of prayers. It was a neighbor's prayers. It was the Holy Ghost. But God has got something for these people. God has got great things in store for these people, and we can't wait to get back to the mission field and begin to bring them the gospel. Praise the Lord. Well, God's got all kinds of great things going on in Fiji, and I could keep you folks here all night long telling you stories of Fiji, but I know you've come to hear the word of God, and so I'm going to do my best and work with the Holy Ghost and bring the word of God tonight. Amen. If you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 25th chapter. I'm going to read verses 14 through 30. Before I begin to pray, I just wonder, Pastor, could you speak a prayer over this? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. This is Jesus telling a parable. Verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received the 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Anybody here want to hear that when you stand before God? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just picture it for a moment. You come into the presence of the Lord. He sees you coming, and he gets a big old smile on his face. And he says, well done. That's what I want to experience when I stand before my God. I want a well done. Well, verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there has it is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not and I gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if I could just preach for a few moments on this ideal of expecting a return at his return. Expecting a return at his return. Praise the Lord. Church, we serve a productive God. Amen. We serve a God who wants to see us be productive. Jesus told us, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And except you abide in me, if you abide in me, you'll produce good fruit. So we want to produce good fruit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus tells us these parables to give us insights into the character of God. You see, he takes these spiritual things that are above our understanding, and he tells us these little stories. And then if we pay attention, if we listen for the explanation, he begins to unlock the character of God, what God loves, what God hates, what God expects. And in this parable, we see that the Lord is expecting a return on his investment. Anybody here ever make an investment that went bad? I always get a few laughs out of that. You can always laugh about it years later, right? It's not funny when it happens. We had a company come in and tell us that they had been around for over 100 years. They could take our money, they could invest it in the stock market, and they could grow our money for us. And they did a good job at convincing us this, and so we invested a little bit of money with them. And it wasn't too long later, they called us back up and they said, "Mr. Fox, your account is empty. You're going to have to send more, or we're going to have to close your account." And I thought, well, here's an easy decision. Go ahead and close the account, because that's not the return I was looking for. I wanted to make a profit. Praise the Lord. I grew up in the farmlands of Missouri. My dad had some property. He wasn't a farmer, but our neighbor was a farmer, and he would come and plant our fields for us. A lot of the times he would plant corn. And so when I was a kid, me and my cousins, we'd run through the cornfields. And when the corn was nice and tall, it was a big maze to play tag in. But even better was after harvest, after they cut all that corn off, and there's these stalks sticking up out of the ground. We would go down into those cornfields, and we'd pull those up, and they have a root wad on them, about like this right here, and they hold on to a big dirt clod. And when you take that and throw it, it's like a perfect spear. And we call that root wad wars. So we had a blast growing up playing in the cornfields, so I grew up around that kind of thing. When a corn farmer plants corn, he puts that kernel of corn in the ground, and it shoots up a stalk, and it puts on an ear. And in harvest time, when the farmer comes to that corn, he's expecting to find more than just one kernel of corn. You know, he's completely wasted his time if he only receives what he planted. And so he's wanting to see that thing nice and full. And I think that's why Jesus uses farming parables so often, is because the farmer is driven to receive a good harvest. The farmer wants to see a good harvest. And Jesus can identify with that because he wants to receive a good harvest. Look at some of the other stories that he tells. He tells the story of the wheat and the tares. The story of the wheat and the tares is that the man of the house goes out and he plants his fields in wheat. And by night, an enemy comes in and sows tares. So when the wheat sprang up, then the tares sprang up too. And the servants come to their Lord and they say, "Lord, we know that you planted good seed in your field. Why does it have these tares?" And he said, "An enemy has done this in the night." And they said to him, "Well, do you want us to go out and pull up the tares?" And the Lord said, "No, don't do that." He said, "When you pull up those tares, you're going to pull up some of my wheat too." We serve a God who loves us. He don't want to see any of us uprooted. He said, "No, let both grow together. And then at the harvest time, we'll separate the wheat from the tares." He don't want to see any of us lost, church. He don't want to see any of us lost. Look at the story of the sower of the seed. It says the sower went out to sow and he sowed his good fields, of course. And it says some fell among the stony ground and some fell among the thorny ground. Some fell among the pathways. Well, growing up around farming, I know enough to know farmers know good ground from bad ground. And so I can see this sower. He's out there sowing and some of it's fallen among the stony ground. And he says to himself, "I need a bigger harvest than what I had last year. Now, I know this may not do very good, but I just might get some." And I can see him over here, and some of it's going among the thorns, and he says, "Now, that may not do as well, but I just might get some." And I can see this sower. He's all out of land, but he's still got seed left at the end of the day. So he's on his way home saying, "I'm going to have a better harvest than what I had last year. The people are going to stomp on some of this. The birds are going to get some of this, but I just might get some over here too." Jesus later describes the parable and he says that the seed is the word of God. So what do we have here? We have a preacher being liberal with the word of God. He's not going to prejudge anybody, but he's just going to give the word of God to whoever will listen. Thank God for preachers like that. I wasn't raised in this church. I wasn't raised in the truth. I was actually, me and my wife, we were going to the bar across the street. And we were in the world. We weren't saved. And when the little Pentecostal preacher lady seen us coming, she could have said, "Oh no." She could have looked at us and seen how worldly we were and say, "No, the seed will never take root over there." And she could have closed the doors to us. Well, thank God she looked past that and said, "Who knows what God will do with these two?" And now 17 years later, we're missionaries to the islands of Fiji. You never know where the word of God is going to take root and flourish. Praise the Lord. Look at the parable of the fig tree. It said the Lord went out with his servant to his orchard. And he comes up to this fig tree and he says, "There's no fruit." He said, "3 years now I've been coming to this tree and no figs." He told his servant, "Just cut it down. It's taking up space." And the servant said, "Hold on, Lord." He said, "I'll dig around the roots and I'll fertilize it and we'll give it one more year." Church, the Lord wants to see us be productive. He wants to see us bearing fruit. Praise the Lord. Just for a moment, I want to go back to verse 24 of the chapter that I read, and I want to take a look at how the unprofitable servant describes his Lord. There's something to see here. It's in verse 24, it says, "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man.'" And I'll just stop right there. A hard man. Really? Now, I read the parable. I don't know about you folks, but I read the parable and I come away with the idea that he's a great rewarder of the diligent. He told the first two servants, he said, "You've been faithful over a few things. I want to make you ruler over many things." And I found in my own personal life, when I stepped out in faith and started to serve him, he's a great rewarder of the diligent. He's not a hard man at all. So where is this man coming from? I think he has a little bit different perspective. You see, to the lazy, every job is hard. The lazy man has never met an employer that he got along with. They're all hard to him. I've had the privilege of working for some good men. I worked for my pastor for years in construction, and I seen him hire men that did not want to work. And my pastor was a good man to work for. But these men, they didn't like him. And so it's a difference in perspective. It's a difference in perspective. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what I've found, church. That's what I've found. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's a tall order. That's a tall order. You see, God didn't just tell his disciples to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and not give them the power to accomplish that task. Look in Acts 1 and 8, it says, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." You see, Jesus gave us the power to be able to go out and be witnesses unto him. Just like in the parable that I read, the Lord, he didn't send those three servants out. He didn't say, "Go out and find a job and make money and bring me a profit when I return." No, he didn't do that. That's not the kind of profit he was looking for. I don't know about you, but when you go out and work to make money, it seems like you make just enough to get by. So what kind of a profit would he have come home to? He wouldn't have come home to any profit. But you see, he gave those servants talents. He gave them the ability to go out and make a great fortune. He sent them out with the means, with the substance to go out and do that. And Jesus, he gives us a command to go out and be a witness unto him. And he gives us the power. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. He's made it. How many here has received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Evidence of speaking in tongues. There's a tremendous investment right here in this building. We read in that parable that when the Lord came back, the first two servants came and they brought all their profits with them. But the last servant, he only brought back what the Lord had invested in him. And it said, he called him a hard man, and he came in fear. Verse 25, he said, and I was afraid. He came to his Lord in fear and trembling. He was only given one talent. My wife looked that up. What exactly was a talent? A talent is about 83 pounds of silver. So this man was given a fortune to go out and invest. And instead, he went to a secret part of his house and he dug him a hole and he buried that talent and covered it up. Now just imagine with me for a moment, you have a fortune stashed away in your house somewhere. Say you got $5 million up in the attic somewhere, up in a trunk. You got it buried up. Nobody knows it's there but you. Now, I don't know about you, but I would go up there and take a look at all that money every once in a while. Even if I wasn't going to do anything with it, just go up there and open it up and go, wow, look at all that. I'd probably even dump it out and roll in it maybe once or twice. But could you imagine having a fortune stashed away? I can see this unprofitable servant as he's sitting in his house and he's twiddling his thumbs. He should be out making a profit with that investment, but he's sitting at home and it gets to working on him. Man, I got a lot of money over there. Maybe I'll go look at it. I can see him go and he moves that carpet back, he digs that back up, and he takes that talent out and he opens up that bag just to go, wow, look at that. Look at what the Lord's invested in me. And he puts it back in that hole, he buries it back up, and that's where it's going to stay. Church, if you're here tonight and the only time you experience the Holy Ghost is right here in this church, that's the only time the Holy Ghost moves in your life, is when they do a real good job up here with the music. If the preacher preaches just right, then you experience the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. You're like that unprofitable servant. You only take the Holy Ghost out just to look at it, just to go, wow, look at that. It feels good. There's going to come a day, church, when we're going to stand before an almighty God. And he's going to be expecting something of you. He's going to be expecting something of you. Have you ever sing the song, I Can Only Imagine? I can only imagine. And the song goes on to talk about how when he's in the presence of God, he don't know what to expect. He can only imagine. What is it going to be like? Is it going to be this or is it going to be that? Well, I want you to leave here tonight knowing something, knowing at least one thing of what to expect when you stand before God. He's going to be requiring that you had done something with his investment in your life. You can see when the Lord came back, those servants, they brought their profits with them. Are we going to be bringing anybody with us, church? Or is the Holy Ghost just something to play with when we're at church? Is it just something to make us feel good for the moment? We got to be taking that Holy Ghost out with us. We got to be taking that Holy Ghost out with us. We got to be ministering to people. We got to be witnessing to people. Praise the Lord. I told you some stories of going and witnessing to the Fijians and how readily they accept it. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, we get a lot of missionaries come through, Brother Fox, and we've heard those stories. Those are missionary stories. Those kinds of things, they don't happen here too often. Oh, but they could. And they will. If you make yourself available. Before I started out on deputation, I was working, traveling quite a bit to Texas. And one of my trips to Texas, it was my daughter's birthday and it was nice out, so I decided to take the kids to the river to play in the river. We had a little Jack Russell dog. Anybody here know what Jack Russell is? They're feisty little dogs. They got short hair. Why do you people have Jack Russells up here? Don't they get cold? It's too cold up here for a Jack Russell. Anyway, We took our little Jack Russell was pretty feisty, always picking fights with other dogs, and we took her down to the river. She got away from us, crossed the river, and went over to this other couple that had a pit bull. And I thought, oh man, I better get over there before she gets herself hurt. So I went over there, I got my little dog, gave her back to the kids, and this gentleman walks up to me and starts talking to me, and his personality was a whole lot better than his looks, because he looked pretty rugged. This was a rugged looking Texan. And so he began to talk with me, and we just made small talk at first, but I seen an opportunity to witness to him. Does the Holy Ghost ever just nudge you and say, hey, speak to this person? And so I began to tell him the goodness of Jesus, about baptism, repentance, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I asked him, I said, would you like to be baptized? And he said, yes. Well, I wasn't ready for a yes. I was ready for a no. And so I began to try to get with him on a time where we could meet at the church and I could give him a little bit more of a Bible study on baptism and baptize him there at the church. And he was working a full-time job and I was working a full-time job, and it became apparent real quick that this meeting at the church wasn't going to happen. And probably I'd never see this man again. And so I began to get frustrated and think, my goodness, I'm going to miss my opportunity to baptize this man. And it was just like the Holy Ghost just tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, you're standing ankle deep in water. You got a whole river behind you, Mitchell, and you're trying to figure out how to baptize this man. Come on now. And so I said, all right, Lord. And I pulled myself together and I said, would you like to be baptized right now? And I'll never forget his response, this old Texan. He said, let's do it. And now his wife was there, but she wasn't part of the conversation. About this time, she came around the back of the truck and started walking up to us to see what was going on. And he didn't say anything to her. He just took off his hat and handed it to her. He took off his watch and handed it to her. He started taking things off and handing it to her. And she's just receiving his stuff. And her eyes start to get big. And I read the expression on her face. And it said, oh no, they're going to fight. She said, what's going on? And he said, honey, I'm going to repent of my sins and I'm going to get baptized in Jesus' name. And we went a little deeper into the water and I baptized him in Jesus' name. And this totally unchurched man come up out of the water, praising and worshiping God. He could have praised and worshiped God with the best of us. I'm telling you, folks, he looked like stony ground. He looked like weedy ground. It looked like if I might have been wasting my time to try and plant a seed there. But you just never can tell. You just never can tell who's got that hunger and who's going to be open to the gospel. It does happen. It does happen in the United States. I only spoke to that man for maybe 15 minutes, but there was a hunger there. There was a hunger there. Now, I know where I've been called to. I've been called to the islands of Fiji. The people of Fiji are hungry. The harvest is white and ready to be harvested. And I know this. I need to get back there. And I just imagine, being you folks are sitting here in this church, God has called you to be missionaries to this community. There's a lost and dying world out there, church. And they need this gospel. They need this gospel. There was an old World War II story about these men on an island, this company of soldiers, and they were completely surrounded by the Japanese. And no way out, no way of escape, no little passage to slip through. They were completely surrounded. And in a last effort to rally his soldiers, to muster one last bit of courage, their leader stood up and he said, men, we have a unique opportunity here. He said, we're completely surrounded. He said, we can attack in any direction. He said, you pick a direction and we'll attack. I'm telling you, church, you're surrounded by people. You're completely surrounded by people who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pick a direction and go, and God will prosper you. God will prosper you. I want to leave this place encouraging you folks that people do need this gospel. They may be like that Indian Fijian family that I spoke to. They're ready for you to ask the question. They already know who you are. They know what you're about. They know where you go to church. And they may be waiting for you to say something so they can tell you yes. So they can shock you with a yes. Yes, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I need. I want it right now. Hallelujah. Church, we've got a work to do in this last day. Now, I know I've preached this evening and I've spoken mostly to the saints about the workings of the Holy Ghost, how it's to make us a witness. And you maybe you're sitting here tonight and you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost yet. Maybe you've been sitting here and thinking, well, I'm on the outside looking in on this one. I don't want to leave this place without giving an opportunity for you to make your way forward. Or even right where you're at, begin to ask God to start dealing with you. Praise the Lord. I preached this morning on the Samaritan woman and Jesus telling her about living water. And she said, after Jesus told her he could give her this living water, she said, what does she say? She said, sir, give me this water. You have not because you ask not. If you want the Holy Ghost, if you want to experience the power, the courage, the comforter, it's here for you tonight. There's no reason to leave the same way you came in. Let's all just begin to stand and to lift our hands and worship God. Let's create an atmosphere of praise and worship that the Holy Ghost can do a work in. And if you're seeking the Holy Ghost, you want to experience some of the things that this preacher has talked about tonight. Begin to make your way forward. We serve a good God. He wants to give His children good gifts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead and play.
Here I am. I've come to find you. Here I am to see your grace.